Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Genesis 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John 1:1-4 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." I want to show you today, through the Word of God, that God is not only the Creator, He is the King. He's not only the Creator, He is also the King of everything. In the beginning, He was King. In the end, He will still be the King. And sometimes we as humanity can miss this or not recognize this, not acknowledge this, but He's still the King. Anybody believe that today? In a kingdom, you can have people that embrace and celebrate the King. You could have those that don't like the King or reject the King. You can even have people that are ignorant that there even is a King. But that doesn't change the fact that there is a King. David said this in Psalm 24:10, "Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory." Today, I want to start a new series called All Hail King Jesus. And we're coming into this beautiful Easter season, but before we get all the way there, I think it's important to prepare our hearts, prepare our spirits. Who is this King that we're celebrating? Who is the King of glory? Who is the King? Who is the God of the heavens? And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And there have been many kings throughout history, but we're going to be talking about the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, King Jesus. He was there in the beginning as King, and He will be there in the end. So let me take you on a little journey today. Is that okay if we go on a little journey? In the beginning, the Bible establishes from the very top, it's clear that God is the Creator. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." There's no doubt about it. He created it. It wasn't evolution. It wasn't something that just popped up. It wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't something that happened over a series of billions of years. Actually, God created the heavens and the earth. There was a creator. There was 5 days that there were planets and moons and stars and animals. And then on the sixth day, He created man. Genesis 1:27 tells us God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. And from the beginning, mankind began giving God honor. But God didn't just want to create and then step away. God didn't just want to be creator, He wanted to play an active role in humanity. Is anybody glad that God will play an active role in your life? He's not far away. He's not a distant God. He's not just a God that created things and made it beautiful once and then stepped away and say, "Well, do the best you can." I'm glad, because there's many times we go through circumstances we need more than a creator. No matter how brilliant the design is, sometimes we make a mess of things, and we need a God that will step in and play an active role. And so we see that God never wanted to create and abandon. God intended to create and be King. Why is this important that He is the King? Well, Solomon figured it out, and we see this in Proverbs 29:2. "When the godly are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked are in power, they groan." Have you ever seen that? When there is a good boss, the employees are taken care of. When there's a good leader, those that follow end up in a good place. If there's a bad boss, though, to the contrary, the employees are taken advantage of. If there's a bad leader, those that follow end up in a bad place. When godly people are in authority, the people are blessed. When the wicked are in authority, people are mistreated. That's what the Bible is telling us. So God wants us to be blessed and to prosper us. So to ensure that, he needs to not only be creator, he needs to be king. He needs to be the authority in our life so that he can make sure that the people are blessed. Some people like David throughout Scripture understood this. And even while David was a king, he understood that God was the king. The king of everything. And so David made this connection and said in Psalm 24, 1 and 2, he said, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him, for he had laid the earth's foundations on the seas and built on the ocean's depths." And then verse 7, he said, "Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the king of glory enter." He made the connection between creator and king. Who is this king of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's army. He is the King of glory. So David saw this in the spirit, and he made this connection that God was not just creator, but also the King of all. Do you know that, God is playing an active role in mankind? He's playing an active role making decrees, actively making decisions on our behalf, actively making decisions that affect mankind and that would guide mankind. Do you know God is still doing that now? And it should give you peace to know that God not only created, but he's in charge. And I know some people can't see this or don't see this, and throughout history, there were people that did not recognize God as king. Some people can see God as creator. That's an easy thing for them to see, but they don't understand that he also wants to be king of their lives. He also wants us to acknowledge him as our authority. You can see this lack of understanding in 1 Samuel 8. In those days, you see, Israel had taken most of the promised land, but they didn't have a natural king. And Samuel was the spiritual leader. He would get messages from God, and he would tell the people, and there were all these judges, and Samuel was the last of these type of judges. And he understood that God was their king, but some other people in the nation said, "No, we want a king like the other nations. We want a man that we could look at that could be our king." And they didn't fully understand that by asking for a man to be king, they were actually rejecting God as their king. I'll read it for you a little bit. 1 Samuel 8, 1. It says, "When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders, and the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abinadab. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways, and they turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel and at Ramah, and he said to him, 'You're old and your sons,'" that's a hard word, right? You never want someone to say, "You're old." "You're old and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." So God tells Samuel, if they really want a man as their king, give it to him. But warn them, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to be selfish. Sometimes he's going to get greedy. Sometimes he's going to want your sons to be a soldier. Sometimes he's going to want your daughters to come and work in his palace. Understand that he's going to make mistakes. He's going to be flawed. There are some men, some women that we look up to, but we have to always understand that God is the king. It's important that we never put man on the throne. Never put a person on the throne. Keep God on the throne. What's really interesting is that how God deals with mankind. He allows us the space to make mistakes. Have you ever noticed that God still loves you? He allows you some latitude here to make mistakes and figure some things out on your own. But then he sticks around so that when we figure out that we've made a big mess, he's there to help us clean it up. God is gracious. God is compassionate. He's full of mercy. God actually saw this coming 900 years earlier. 900 years earlier, before this whole king thing with Samuel and Saul and the elders coming to Samuel, 900 years earlier, he knew the people would reject him as their king and ask for a man. So in the moment, right when Jacob is about to die and he begins to prophesy to his sons, he gets to Judah, and this is what he says to Judah in Genesis 4:9. He says, 49:8. He says, "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow to you. You are the lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son, like a lion. He crouches and lies down like a lioness who dares to rouse him. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until to whom it belongs to shall come. And the obedience of the nations shall be his." Wow. God knew that his people, even the people that recognized and were supposed to understand him best, would reject him as king. And he already foreknew that, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to give you a king, and I'm going to entrust the kingdom to him, but understand, eventually, it's going to come right back to me. Because you're going to see for yourself that it doesn't work." So God gave them Saul. And then Saul messed up. And then God gave them David. And David did good in some areas and bad in some areas. And then David had lots of sons. And some kings were good and some kings were bad. And some kings were a little mixture of everything. But it continued until it came back to, in the lineage of Judah, King Jesus. God knew that rejecting him would fail. He always has wanted to be our king. God would raise up man after man, but it comes back to God, full circle. He was always the king from the beginning. He was always the king, but sometimes we have to go on a journey. Listen to me. Sometimes we have to go on a journey to see who he really is. That's still going on today. That still goes on in our culture. That still goes on in our world, where we have to go on a journey to see that Jesus is the king. That God is the perfect king. There's no need to put anybody else up on that pedestal. I don't need to be on that pedestal. You don't need to be on your own pedestal. We don't need to find somebody in the news. We don't need to find somebody in politics and put them up on a pedestal. Jesus is king. Look at somebody say, "Jesus is king." So the truth of the matter is, Jesus never stopped being king. He just allowed man to try it out and see that it doesn't work. We live in a world where some accept that Jesus is the king and some do not. Some people say that he's the king but don't serve him. We got a lot of that. Some people say he's the king and do serve him. But we do understand that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of Lords. But right now, we all have a decision to make. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." So what about you today? Is Jesus your king? You know, sometimes we can accept him as Savior. Jesus, save me. I'm drowning. But we don't accept him as king. We don't submit our life to him. We live in a culture that we don't like to submit. We want to be in charge. We want to be our own king. It's not enough to just let Jesus be Savior. Can you let Jesus be Lord, the King? That takes surrender. Are you surrendered today? That tells you who your king is. If I'm not surrendered, guess what? Man is on the throne. The moment I surrender and I bow the knee, I am putting Jesus on the throne. Does Jesus sit on the throne of your life? Or does something or someone, or do you sit on the throne? Does Jesus sit on the throne, or does your career sit on the throne of your life? Does Jesus sit on the throne of your life, or do relationships sit on the throne of your life? Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Put God on the throne. And all these things will be added. The problem is when we put the things on the throne. God has always said, I want to be first. Question is, will we let him be first in our lives? Will we let him be the king? Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you that you are not only creator, but you are the king. But God, we don't want to stop at that. We want you to be our king. We don't want to reject, we don't want to be ignorant of, but God, we want to fully embrace what it means to live life with you as our King. Not just saving us when we get into hard times, not just saving us when we're going through problems, not just saving us when our bank account is empty or we've got some issue with our family, but saying, God, I want you to be King of my life. I want you to have daily involvement in my life. I want you to lead. I'm willing to follow you. God, I thank you for all that you've done for us to get us to this place. But God, help us to have a deeper understanding of what it is to surrender to you as King. Maybe as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I realize I'm not fully surrendered. I've been doing some stuff my way, and I want to change that. I want to do things his way. I want to be fully surrendered. I want him to be the king. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Amen. Amen. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I've ever really surrendered to him. I've been around church, been around religion, but I've never really been surrendered. So you just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. If you slipped up your hand, I want to just ask you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and my failures. I'm sorry for my sins. My mistakes. I need your forgiveness. Give me a fresh start today. Apply the perfect work that you did on the cross to my life. Today, I surrender. I want to do things your way. I want to live life with your guidance. I want to follow your commands. Help me live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.